Welcome to another episode of Perspective. Today we're talking to Ashley Baxter over at With Jack. We're talking insurance.
But don't leave yet. It's not all boring. It's interesting stuff.
It is.
The goal isn't to live forever. The goal is to create something that will.
Welcome to Perspective, a podcast for wedding creators, where we sit down often with a special guest and talk about our many years of experience in the wedding industry so you can learn from us and grow your wedding business. This episode is, of course, sponsored by With Jack. Funny, because we have Ashley Baxter from With Jack with us today. So, let's get into it. Shall I pour the drinks?
Yeah.
Oh, yes,
and
please.
And a nod to the previous episode where you've been on. Where we used to always do what we're drinking. I know some people are missing it. If that's you, welcome.
That was like for 5 years ago.
It could be.
Did you pour?
Because it was
Greg
like episode four or five. I pre-poured mine.
Oh, right. Thanks, Simon.
Greg is a selfish arsehole.
I poured one. No, so. I poured it and then thought, let's do coffee with.
Yes. Okay. Right. So this is a little bit of a different episode because for our YouTube viewers, you might notice I don't have a laptop in front of me. I have no notes. This is going to be an off the cuff. Greg's going to be very nervous that this is off the cuff, but it's going to be an off the cuff episode.
First
up. We're freestyling about insurance.
That's right. So
first up.
Well, hang on.
Who is Ashley Baxter?
Well, hang on. I actually forgot to introduce ourselves because I did the intro wrong. And who are we? Well, I'm Simon and this is Greg. Together we are Cinemate Films. We are Scottish-based wedding filmmakers and we want to educate you on how to run a business. And who are we talking to? Terrible. Great start.
Ashley. I am building With Jack and we help to keep creatives in business by supporting them financially and or legally if they have problems with a client or make a mistake in their work. And then other than that, I like video games and picking up heavy things in the gym and photography as well, believe it or not.
Yes, indeed. I haven't seen you with the camera for a while.
I know. I really need to get back out there. I have started to do my photo project again where I choose a random word every week and then... I really struggled. I spent hours last night trying to edit this photo and it's just not coming together for me. So I am working away at it in the background, but I've not really had much to share.
Is this the first one in the series? Because I've not seen any being posted yet.
So the last one, the word was high. Then I went away to Oban and I was like, I'll go to the highest viewpoint in Oban and get like a nice scenic photo. But whenever you go to these high viewpoints, they always have like twigs that are in the way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you've got a great view, but there are twigs in the way of your photo. So I didn't end up posting that one, but I did post a photo from Oban. Mm. I know, getting in the way of my photo project. And then this one was Bond. And then I tried to do some weird composition photo with me and Indy, and it's not happening. I might try that again or just start with a new word, but that feels like cheating.
Mm. And for people who don't know who Indy is?
She's my dead dog.
That's right. Oh, Indy. You're missed. Yeah,
she's I thought Bond because her and I obviously had a good relationship. Mm. Well, I say that, but then a dog has no choice. You've basically captured them and then held them captive for years, 16 and a half years.
She had lots of opportunities to go away if she wanted to. Could have ran out that door in the last office.
She couldn't though because, that's true actually. So yeah, well, that's a good point. So. Hmm. So we'll have a second crack at it. Maybe not tonight because the Scotland game is on, but it's some other evening.
Mm. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, Ashley shares an office in Tutenko, which is our co-working business. And we're here in Glasgow. And that's where you're very rarely away from your laptop, to be fair. But you do come in here and work alongside us.
Yeah, I'm here. I was going to say, I'm like here from 8 o'clock in the morning, which is super early, but you're always here as well at that time.
I'm always here. Because I've gotten into the good habit of going to the gym like you. We discovered a while ago that fitness is the way to go and it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think so.
Yeah.
We just need to convince Greg off it and get him to join the same gym as us, and then we'll all be working together and working out together.
I might start running. It's getting warmer again. I might start running again.
All right.
I mean, I'm a fair weather runner.
What does that mean?
When it gets frosty and wintry, I'm not running.
No, you shouldn't. It's dangerous. If you slip and you break an elbow, then you can't do your job.
An elbow, hey? Fair enough. I mean, I did once take up, what was it, rollerblading? Fell once. Thought, nope. I'm self-employed. I can't be doing this.
I think I briefly remember that phase. But actually, to bring insurance into the subject, I mean, there is insurance for... It's not something that I do, but there is insurance if you, as a self-employed person, injure yourself and you can't work and you're signed off from work, then you can get some kind of income protection insurance thing. That was a really good segue, right?
I really enjoyed that. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. So
what is With Jack? We know who Ashley is now, but what's With Jack?
So With Jack is what we're really just trying to build as a platform that's going to help to keep creatives, mostly freelancers, in business. And right now it's mostly insurance. So we have several different insurance products. The sort of main product we sell is one that helps you if somebody ever tries to take legal action against you or recover damages from you. But our other products that we sell as well are often used more often than that one. That doesn't happen very often. It does happen, it can happen, but it doesn't happen very often. The ones that we see photographers and videographers using a lot is, of course, contents insurance. It's our most used product. And I was actually looking through our claims data for contents insurance, and like 70% of our claims are from photographers and videographers.
Clumsy photographers.
Filmmakers, sorry. But also I just think, you know, there are other little bits and pieces that you can add on to your policy too that kind of give you access to legal advice without having to go and find your own lawyer and pay for expensive upfront fees. And I think that, you know, at some point when you are working with clients, you're going to run into a situation, maybe nothing too dramatic, but still something where you want to kind of talk to a professional and get a bit of advice. And that's why I think insurance is really good, because it's fairly priced, unlike having to kind of, like I said, go out and find a lawyer and pay expensive upfront fees just for one conversation with them. So that's what we're doing with Jack.
I kind of want to take this right back. All right, I'm for many years I didn't really understand insurance. Some might say I still don't. So for our listeners, can you run us down the basics of the basics of insurance? Like, what's a broker? What's an underwriter? Who? What's their relationship? How do you get your money? What's the, you know, what's the process of all these things?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think it matters too much. I think like most people do just lump them all into the same category, and that's absolutely fine. I don't think you need to worry too much about how it all works behind the scenes. But you get brokers like myself, some of which will kind of shop around a wide range of the market to find the best fit for you. But because we're already quite niche and we only work with quite a specific subset of people, we just work with one provider because we tend to find that that policy is a really good fit for creatives. So we're the broker, we arrange your insurance, and we're going to be your point of contact for everything. Doesn't matter what your problem is, if it's a claim, if it's a change you want to make to your policy, if it's a question you have, go to your broker. You might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't really trust putting like placing my insurance with, you know, a girl wearing a bright orange hat and an ugly jacket. But we don't pay out the claim. That's what the insurer does. And the underwriters, they're the ones that just determine what risks they're comfortable with underwriting. And the insurer pays out the claim. So the broker's got quite an important role, because I find that most of the time when we're dealing with customers, they really just want to kind of run things by somebody. They just want to have a chat. I've got this little bit of a problem. I don't know what to do. Or I'm worried about this particular thing happening. And I don't really think that you get to have those human conversations with an insurer, whereas your broker's more like a, not a mentor, but just somebody that you can kind of offload to and have a chat with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. I think people out there have this bad expectation, not expectation, well, maybe expectation, but certainly they don't view their broker or their insurance company with that type of, I would come to you with a problem if, I'm not saying this right. I feel like they're not trusted enough to, you know, feel like people can come to the insurance company and be like, hey, so I've got this problem. It just seems like you're just going to get a whole lot of legal...
premium the following year.
Well, yeah, that too. You have to pay more every time you pick up the phone. But like, it doesn't like... And that's why I always like pushing you onto people, because you just pointed out that you are a normal creative individual like us. You are just, this is you. And I think that's quite comforting for many creative individuals out there who, you know, might get a little bit off put by...
Yeah, there's a bit of a misconception around insurance where people think, oh, I'm just spending money for nothing and I don't see the benefit of it or whatever. But as you just said, you're there so that they can ask you, oh, you know, is this something that my insurance would help with? And that's what the broker's there for, is to help. Be like, yeah, absolutely. Let's get the conversation going.
I mean, I wish I had that. Like, I remember when I was a freelance photographer, and I remember that feeling so vividly of buying my first insurance policy, because I wasn't in business insurance at that time. And like yourself, I didn't understand it all. And I just kind of put together this package and had this overwhelming feeling of, I have no idea if what I've bought is right, but I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope that I never have to find out. Yeah. And I want the opposite for my customers, or not just my customers, just any kind of creative, like anybody providing a professional service to a client. You want them to just feel more confident going into every shoot, working on every project, and not having all of these niggling little worries at the back of their mind. And I think like that's the role that insurance plays so well. Statistically speaking, you're never going to use your insurance. Statistically speaking, only 5%.
You don't want to use it either.
You don't want to use it. And also, like, from looking at our claims data, 5% of our customers make a professional indemnity claim. It's a tiny amount, but I still think that it can help you so much going into projects or working on jobs with clients or having difficult conversations with clients. It just really should arm you with the confidence to be able to stand up for yourself when you get a client that's maybe treating you a little bit badly, or when they come to you when you've got to have that difficult conversation. It should give you the confidence to be able to have that difficult conversation, knowing that if the absolute worst was to ever happen, you've got a team of people to help you. You're not going to go through things alone. And that's the scariest thing as a creative, as a freelancer, you often are on your own. And so I want to kind of make people think of insurance as like, I've got a team of people behind me that really want to help me and see me succeed, because that's what it is at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like having your first employee to some extent, like your team and insurance are there.
Yeah. Well, I remember like when I was exploring like positioning and stuff, which I find a really interesting subject matter. And like one of the things I was thinking about, is there any way that we can position with Jack as like your digital kind of co-founder? Because that is what it's kind of like. We just don't want you to carry the burden off, you know, running a business alone, basically. Just focus on the stuff that you're good at.
Yeah.
The creative stuff. And you know, let us worry about the rest.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. I mean, we've had so many people on this podcast talk about horror stories, whether it's their car's been broken into, or their lenses fall into a river, or, I mean, there's a whole bunch of situations where you might be inclined to pick up the phone to your broker and be like, hey, so this happened, can you help me? Can you run us through some of the products, or whatever you call them, for the laymans out there, or for me? Mm-hmm. What they're called, what they can help with, what you think people should have, what you think maybe are products that are oversold that maybe aren't required for a wedding photographer, a wedding filmmaker?
Yeah.
All right.
So let's start with the main one. I would not run a business without this. Can you guess what it is?
Public liability?
No!
Contents cover?
No! Like professional indemnity insurance. Because if something goes wrong, you make a mistake in your work, or a client isn't happy with the work that you've done. I just feel like as photographers and filmmakers, sometimes the...
You don't have to do that.
I know. Can I just call you videographers?
You
no,
can call us anything.
But it's a harder word to say. So I
don't You're
say.
Right. You might think, right, okay, there's not that much risk attached to what I'm doing. Like I've only charged £2,000 to shoot this wedding. It's not about that. It's about the amount of money that they've spent on the wedding that if they think that you've done something to ruin that or cause any kind of emotional distress and they kind of try to you know, say, right, we've spent 20 grand on this wedding, you haven't captured it the way that we wanted it to. There's just so much more at stake. That's something that we see quite a lot of. Like professional indemnity claims are typically quite large and not many people have the money lying around to sort those types of situations out. So
yeah.
I would have that. That's like for me the most important product to have if you're working with clients, professional indemnity insurance, and it's cheap as well. Like it's going to cost you about £10 to £20 a month. The other ones would be, of course, content insurance, which I don't think require too much of an explanation about what they are. Like I said, this is our most used product, especially with photographers and filmmakers, because you're just carrying, you're out on shoots all the time, and there's so much more risk associated with equipment when you're taking it out and about. There's not just the risk of dropping it and causing accidental damage or knocking it off something. You've got an increased risk of theft as well, which we see a lot of. So I think that's important. Think about like if everything that you take out and about with you or everything that you kind of keep on your premises overnight was to somehow get lost, damaged or stolen, do you have the capital to go out and replace all of that? Probably not.
Yeah,
I don't know. Probably not. Yeah.
No, so I think contents insurance is really good to have, and out of all of the insurance products, that's the one that you're probably going to have to use at some point. Then public liability you mentioned. So that's really popular with photographers and filmmakers, but to be completely transparent with you, with Jack's been going for 6 years, I think, we've never had a public liability claim. It's not that common. But with that said, it's still a really cheap insurance product. It's like a couple of pounds a month. So I still wouldn't run the type of business that you run without it. But we've never had a claim for it.
That's the one where... if you've got your bag sitting in the ground and somebody trips over it.
Yeah, any kind of accident or injury and they say to you, like, that was your fault.
Because I think the reason most people would add that to their policy is because venues quite often, not often, but on the rare occasion, a venue might say, can we see your public liability? Maybe more so with drone, but sometimes with just photography as well, they'll ask for that.
And that's probably because it also includes cover for third-party property damage. So if you cause damage to third-party property, it's nice for venues to know that they can easily recover the money off you. And then lastly, a wee product as well that we have is legal expenses insurance. And that's kind of good. I talked about professional indemnity, and it's kind of like that's it's 5% of our customers make a professional indemnity claim, so it's not often used. But there are loads of situations where you might have a problem with a client, a contract dispute, a payment dispute, questions about copyright ownership and all sorts. Legal expenses insurance is good for that because you get access to a wee helpline. You can just pick up the phone and talk to somebody that's specialised in that area for free as often as possible. And then it also includes some other cover that may not be relevant for your line of work because you accept payment up front, but it includes like a late payment chasing service and things like that. So it's just nice to have. See, if you like had all of those things, obviously depending on how much equipment you have, you might just be paying about £30 a month for all those things, which isn't a lot of money if you think about what you get in exchange for that. Yeah. I don't think it is anyway.
If you accidentally smash a vase at a fancy venue, that covers you for £30.
Yeah. Just please don't. Please don't do that.
Yeah, please don't do that. I mean, have we ever done anything like that before?
No.
I'm trying to think. I don't think we've ever Or maybe smashed a lens on a shoot.
Can you hear my butt vibrating?
Yes.
Now that you pointed it out.
I knew this would happen.
What's going to... Are you getting a client call?
I don't know if it's a customer.
Would you want to go answer that? And Greg and I will talk about Thrive and our experiences.
It's too late.
We can call that... Oh. they're probably going to watch this back and go,
I feel like people only ever phone me when I'm recording a podcast. Have you noticed that?
You do get a lot of calls when it's inconvenient. Either, yeah, when you're...
Simon,
what was that?
Oh, that would be I velcroed. I didn't. I stuck.
Are they not even on?
I know. I don't like them on. I prefer the TV to be in a black hole.
Oh. Anyway, feel free to talk about Thrive because people like we've maxed out the insurance chat. It's like 10 minutes, and then
well, hang on a minute. There, so, can you like retail? Can you tell us some horror stories or situations that you've come across? Is that are you allowed to do that?
Yeah, there's customers that have given me consent to talk about their particular experiences. There's one that I've talked to you about before that I've spoke to you about fairly recently, which was it was a really interesting story, a horrible story, but an interesting one because it utilized two different insurance products. So the first thing was that they went to a shoot and their hard drive, which had all of the video files on it, suffered accidental damage and therefore the video files became corrupt. So they claimed on their contents insurance because your contents insurance, if you arrange it through with Jack, has a really cool feature that includes data recovery costs. So the insurer will pay for a data recovery company to try to recover the files.
Mm. And did they?
No, it wasn't successful.
Ouch.
So firstly, that was like a £4,000 or £5,000 claim from contents insurance perspective to try to recover these files. So now we had another part of the claim, which was professional indemnity insurance, because my customer had to go back to their client and say, this has happened and I have no files, no footage from our shoot. And this is what I always say to my customers is that you can do everything right, but you can't control how your client reacts. Some people are going to be fairly reasonable about things and some people aren't, and you have no control over that.
Yeah.
So in their case, the client said to them, well, we've just spent a fortune on hiring models. They'd like hired a location for 2 days or whatever it was. They'd spent a lot of money on the shoot and now they had nothing to show for it. And so they said to the videographer, like, we expect you to cover the cost of that. And that was like another £4,000. So that one situation, which was just really unfortunate, let's be honest, like your hard drive just taking a knock when you're on a shoot and suddenly losing the files, cost about £9,000. And they used two different insurance products for that situation. I'm trying to think of other ones as well that are specifically related. Like, honestly, like every week I'm getting claims through from photographers and filmmakers, just like your bog standard, like I'm out in a shoot and I've dropped my camera, or like somebody's picked up my camera bag when I'm shooting walked away with £10,000 worth of equipment. So like if you're listening to this right now and you don't have contents insurance, at the very least get that sorted, because it's crazy how recurring these like problems. I mean, I like when I was a photographer, I claimed my contents insurance twice.
Yeah.
So, and I was only a photographer for how many years? I didn't do it for that long.
Don't ask us.
5 years, I think. So 5 years and 2 claims.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a pretty horrible story there. And you can see how that could apply to so many different scenarios. It's not just like commercial shoots that you go out on. It could be weddings.
If you
that
put
would
that
be the
into a wedding
worst.
Situation, there's not only the cost of it, there's like the emotional stress that people will get. People could get really emotional with those emails and conversations that...
Oh, man.
It could get nasty.
It can't, yeah.
It makes me feel sick to think about that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Well, here's a question for you that's insurance related, kind of.
Cool.
What keeps you awake at night with your business?
What keeps me awake at what in terms of insurance or just like
well, no,
anything?
I find that's a really good question to ask from an insurance perspective because people don't think about insurance like, we think about insurance differently, right? You think about it as, like, from a, I think about it as a broker, and you think about it as a creative. So the way that I find it really, I find it really interesting to ask people that question, because then when they give you a list of their worries, you can say, well, here's that product that can help in that way. Do you know what I mean? So that's why I ask, like, fair enough, if nothing keeps you awake at night, then that's fantastic.
I mean, the idea of a client coming back to me and saying, your work was terrible, always is at the back of my mind, because we've all got, like, imposter syndrome and all that kind of stuff. Never happened, apart from in the early years. Like, I think there was one moment that we missed in a wedding that was just unforeseen live event, like, couldn't have foreseen this happening, so it wasn't captured. But that got heated. But I don't tend to worry too much about the business stuff, because I know... Greg will sort out. No, but, like, we're always covered for the most part.
Yeah, you know? It sounds cheesy, but we have insurance with Jack.
Yeah.
So that sort of stuff of, oh, what if someone's right now breaking into our office and stealing our equipment, doesn't keep me up at night. It's more so just stuff like, are we serving our clients well just now? Are we looking after them? What's the next step to grow the business? Things like that that are on the mind. But I don't think there's any worries about problems.
I've just struck one, right? So when I'm working in my house, right?
Yeah.
I have a 1-year-old puppy, and she is constantly chewing at my shit. Honestly, like, if, and so there's been the odd occasion I've turned around and she's had her mouth around my power cable.
No way.
So it's that's been difficult. But I always imagine she's found a hard drive on a table, or she's jumped up and she's just gnawing it when I've gone to make a coffee.
Accidental damage. Contents insurance sorted.
Yeah, but again, not much of a fear, because we have a really good backup system. So although I'm working from the hard drive, Greg's caught.
I quite often find Dexter walking around with an SSD drive at his ear as if it's a phone.
That's
going,
funny.
Hey-o, hello.
Oh, dear.
I'm like, it's not a phone. What are you doing?
And to go back to the one where a client comes to you and says they're not happy with the work that you've done, theoretically, just to talk about that. So refunds are not covered under your insurance, but what insurance can do for you in a situation like that is say to a client that you feel like you have done a good job, you know, you've fulfilled the brief, you've met the terms, you know, and all that stuff, and just kind of stand your ground, because you'll find that that happened to me before when a client wasn't happy with my photos, and my gut reaction, because it's sickening when that happens, because we care about our work as creatives, my gut reaction was to go, here's your money back, like, you know, and then I thought, but I've done a really good job, like, they should be happy with this. And so because I knew how insurance worked by that point, it gave me the confidence to say to them, I'm really sorry that you're not pleased with the photos, but I've done a very good job here, and I've, you know, met the terms of the contract, and I've done everything that you've asked me to do, and so I don't really see where else we can go from here. And what I was doing there was basically backing them into a corner to make a decision, because they've only got two decisions to make, right? One which is, right, okay, fair enough, we'll just leave things as is, or the second one is to take things further with a threat of, you know, legal action or trying to recover money from me, and that's why I have insurance. So so whilst refunds are not covered, I do think insurance in that situation gives you the confidence to kind of go into that conversation and handle it a little bit differently. It kind of gives you a bit of power, I think.
It does. Are there any, like, no-nos, like, when, say, your client's come back, she's not happy, are there any things that you should not do or that you should not say in an email or a phone call or anything like that?
Yeah, like, I mean, look, every situation is different, but insurers generally don't want you admitting liability. So I know that can sometimes be difficult, because you sometimes are at fault for things happening, but it's best to just try to not be like, oh, don't invite a claim against you. Don't be like, oh, I'm so sorry that I've made a mistake here, but don't worry.
Right.
I have insurance. you know, we'll get the money off the insurer. That's not how insurance works. It's mm-hmm. there to defend you if a claim is made against you. It's not. Yeah. It will not help you if you've invited a claim against you. So I've had a few customers that have got in touch to be like, you know, I've made a mistake and I've told my client that I've got insurance, and I'm like, that's not how this
yeah.
works.
Yeah.
So yeah, definitely don't invite any claims against you, and also try not to admit liability. Like, it's okay to appease a client and, you know, apologize for the situation, but don't admit any wrongdoings if possible.
Mm.
In that situation, you might not know a definitive answer on this, but in that situation, client's not happy with the work, they've emailed to say, this is unacceptable, you've not fulfilled your brief. If the photographer's insurer went back, could it not be on the couple to use their insurance to pay out and cover them?
What, like wedding insurance?
If they've got wedding insurance, would they be able to claim on that? I don't know.
I don't know anything about wedding insurance, to be honest. So I'm not sure. But what I bet, like, most couples don't even have wedding insurance. Oh, maybe like now they do, because I feel like COVID really highlighted so much stuff can happen outside of your control. So maybe it has become a big hit. Maybe I should move into that.
Maybe. Just so you know, Ashley, when you're wanting to do a death stare into a camera,
I look at that one.
It's actually that one.
Maybe I should look into that.
Yeah, perfect.
I actually don't want anybody to watch this video though, because I am just out the gym.
Yeah,
people are watching it.
People are
right now. Is it live?
No, it's not live. It's not.
Watching it on YouTube. So, they've subscribed. They've hit the bell.
Yeah. So for those of our listeners who cannot see you, you are in your gym gear.
Yeah,
you have chalk on your hands.
Oh yeah.
Because Ashley is in fact a strong woman competitor.
Yeah
In fact, you had a competition, did you not?
Yeah, and I came third. Have you felt my muscles?
No. I've never felt your muscles.
Oh, but we'll do that later. But yeah, I came third. So I went into the last event. I know I've been telling everybody this, but it's quite cool. I went into the last event of the day. I should talk to you. Mm. First, like, I had the opportunity to win this competition, and I just had to have a reasonable run at the last event. And then I was the first person to fail the Atlas stones. Mm. But they're just so scary, man. I don't think there's anything scarier than like being trampled.
When you say
by,
you were first person to fail, were you first to attempt it?
No, I was last to attempt it.
I was about to say, usually whoever's in the lead goes last.
Yeah, I went last. Mm. And then I got the first stone over, and I was like, well, that did not feel good. And then I got in my head, and then the next one, I just couldn't get it over. But I'm still really pleased because I have a wee bronze medal.
Yeah.
Have you seen my medal?
I haven't seen your medal.
Oh, I'll wear it tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, please do.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And that's why you want Ashley on your team, because she'll kick your component's arse.
Component?
I did say component, didn't I?
Component.
What's the word I'm trying to say? Competitor.
Client?
No, competitor.
I don't know. I'm not a violent person, though.
Fight for you.
You just want her on your side.
Yeah, basically. You just want me on your side, but there's no violence.
Yeah, you know, so, I have a podcast. It's ridiculous. Can't even talk. Why?
We do the usual wrap-up questions. We ask if you've got a book recommendation.
Oh, no.
We didn't prep you on that. Well, you're always reading books.
I know, but also, I do also listen to your podcast, and so I know the questions you ask, but for some reason, whenever I'm put on the spot, I forget like everything that I've ever consumed. Because somebody else recommended that on your podcast.
It doesn't matter.
It's all right.
People need to hear it again and again before they actually go, you know, I'm going to buy that.
Do you know what? My favorite book that I tell everybody about, is it annoying that I do that?
Yeah. We'll see when I go to edit.
My favourite book that I tell everybody about is The Dip.
Yes.
I've told you about that before.
Seth Godin.
Yeah. I like all Seth Godin books. Mm. I like that one though, because
they're quite easy to consume as well.
You could read that on a flight.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're bath time books.
Or flight time books.
Or flight time books, yes. But I don't travel a lot.
Yeah, well, me either anymore. So bath time books. And I liked that one just because it was just really relevant to where I was at that point in my life, where I was like deciding I was like, as creatives, you work on projects and they're all really exciting and fun and shiny to begin with. And then you just reach a sticking point and it gets really hard. Mm. And most people quit at that point, which isn't always a bad thing. But if you lean into the dip, then amazing things await you on the other side, apparently.
Yes.
And that's certainly been the case for me. So I like the dip. What was the other question? There wasn't one. Hit me with it.
Just book recommendations and TV show recommendations. I mean, you said you're a gamer.
TV shows.
You said you're a gamer. What are you playing?
You know what I'm. You know what I played, Simon. I got obsessed with Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Is it called Odyssey? Yeah,
it is called Odyssey.
For me, like Cassandra, is just amazing, right?
Yes. It is a very good day.
I'm just sitting here, glazed eyes.
Love fine. Cassandra. She's like. It's not often you play a video game and you get like a female protagonist that's hench.
Mm.
She is built. She's got so much muscle on her. I love her. She's amazing. So I loved Assassin's Creed Odyssey. TV shows. Do you know what I'm watching right now? Tulsa King.
That's Stallone, isn't it?
Yes.
Is it any good?
I like it. I love a bit of Sylvester.
I mean, who doesn't?
Where's it on?
Paramount.
Mm. Paramount.
I really like it. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I haven't heard anybody talk about it, and I've not heard anybody on your podcast talk about it. I've not heard anybody in this office talk about it. But yeah, I really, really like it, and I like Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. So yeah, it's cool. Check it out.
The last thing I watched was Sly.
Is that what people call him? Sly.
He does get called that, but I don't think people call him very often.
I remember, I don't know if you have Netflix, but The Ultimate Beastmaster was his creation, I believe. It's like
reality?
No, The Ultimate Beastmaster. That's one hell of a reality name. it's like one of these competition shows where competitors from the States and around the world compete on this.
So reality TV.
Reality, it's not reality.
But it's real people.
Is it real people doing a competition or is it fictional?
Yeah, it's real people.
Right. Yeah, that's reality TV.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right.
It sounds it's like reality physical TV. 100.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's this competition where people go through the course and they compete. Yeah.
I love stuff like that because remember I got obsessed with Physical 100.
I do remember that.
I love stuff like that, like where you see people physically and mentally being pushed to their absolute limits. I'll watch it. I've not watched it. Is he in it?
I think it was his baby. So he created it. I don't know if he sold it or whatever, but he's in the first season as he introduces it. Does some of the voice work for it. But
interesting. Give that a watch then.
Give it a go. There's also a British version of it as well.
Because it doesn't have Sylvester. It doesn't have Sly.
No, it doesn't have Sly. But my kids love it. Kids love a competition-based TV reality TV show.
Yeah, if it's anything like Ninja Warrior, then I can see why.
It's like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Yeah.
And then when you watch it and you're like, I could do that, but then you really couldn't.
No.
No, you really couldn't.
I probably could. Because I'm a strong woman.
No. I mean, no, I've had Atlas stones, but you know. No. We won't mention
I've just
it.
Started Succession. I started watching Succession.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Never I've seen heard it before, of it, but I don't know what it is.
Always gets talked of in quite high regard, so I was like, give that a go. And I think it's maybe just started the last season, so it's about to end.
Is it about successful people?
It's about a super rich family who own like most of the media in America. Mm. And the dad's sort of, the first episode, it's like, oh, the dad's on his way out. He has a stroke or something. And then it's like the battle amongst the family for who's going to take over the company. And I'm only just a wee bit into season one, so I don't know where it goes from there. But
that makes sense with the name now.
Yeah. Can I be completely honest with you? There's a plant at the back of my head. It's been there the whole bloody podcast. It keeps on jagging me. I'm just going to move it. I need to move that.
What's the last question we always ask? One piece of advice for...
One piece of advice for anyone new in the wedding industry.
What's it going to be?
Well, yeah, I think you know what my advice is. It's to get insurance. And if you really are looking at insurance and you're like, I can't budget for it right now, then at the very least, get a professional indemnity policy in place. Because, like I said, our claims for professional indemnity, whilst rare, they do happen. They're very high. You don't want to be in a position where you have to shut your business, sell your house or sell your car or whatever to get yourself out of that situation. So get your PI policy. It'll cost you like less than £20 a month. And then you can start adding onto that as your business grows and you're earning a bit more money, get your contents insured and sorted and all the rest of it. Yeah, this is the most obvious piece of advice. Just get insured, man.
Get insured. Absolutely. And get it with Jack. Who's your underwriter, by the way?
Beazley.
Yeah.
I really like them. They're very good.
Mm. Yeah. And I've seen you on occasion have phone calls or whatever in the background. I can't hear what you're saying, but you're always, always fighting for your clients.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever their issue is, I just see you very passionately, like on the phone to Beazley or trying to sort stuff, or
I just always want the best outcome for my customers, always. Mm. And I think a lot of brokers, you know, if a claim gets rejected or whatever, they might just be like, oh, computer says no, but I always like to try to fight for the best outcome. Doesn't always happen, but
no.
I like to think that I give it a good shot.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So where can people find With Jack?
Oh, withjack.co.uk is the website. Mm-hmm. And then, do you know what? I think like I've gotten so bad at keeping social media updated. So just go to the website.
Just go to the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But follow me on Instagram. I'm Ashley Baxter. Like / Ashley Baxter.
Yes, yes, indeed.
/ That doesn't make any sense. I mean, at.
At
yeah,
Ashley Baxter.
You got what I mean. Okay.
Baxter. Yeah. Baxter, like the soup.
Yeah, the chicken soup.
Yeah. Just
the chicken just soup.
Not the vegetable.
No, just no. The chicken. The protein one.
And thank you for watching and listening on this very casual spur of the moment episode of the podcast. So just as a quick update. I might have mentioned this on the podcast earlier. We are going through a rebranding thing with agency. So, we're getting stuff changed. And so there might be a little bit of a break, or we'll just film. We'll just fill the break with stuff like this. Shorter form videos. Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we close to finishing? Please.
Won't be too far off from having the sort of core elements down. So after that, it'll be just getting some supplemental stuff done here and there by other people.
Yes. So our goal, and we'll say this since it's in your ears, is to continue the podcast, continue our YouTube channel, the podcast, hopefully doing one every week. That is the goal. Now that we've set up this permanent studio, that's the goal. And we'll be talking to more and more industry professionals talking about their many years of experience in the wedding industry. So you can learn from us and really grow your business. That's really important to us. Along with that, there'll be other shorter form videos from Greg and I educating you on specific topics that we want to talk about. We have already filmed such videos. And what did we talk about, Greg? You want to fill them in?
We have done one video on our packaging that we gift to our couples. So you can hear more about that.
Mm.
And so far we've done what's in our kit bag. So that will be coming soon.
Yeah, not that anyone cares about the kit
it's
bag.
A definite learning process trying to do a talking to camera video. It's different beast altogether, but
it definitely
it's
is.
Fun learning, fun trying to do.
Mm.
So not just YouTube, but genuinely subscribe so that you can see some of that stuff when it comes out. See more of these podcasts when they come out.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, indeedy. And we've just finished Thrive. So we had a really good time at Thrive.
Yep.
Obviously, we attended Glasgow. Sorry, Ashley.
No, I'm just stating.
Oh, right. Sitting at the camera. You can actually go if you need to go somewhere.
Thrive could be its own video as well.
Should we make Thrive its own video?
Can be.
Okay.
Along with the highlights.
Okay.
Just slot the highlights into it as well.
Yes, I haven't edited the highlights, but there was a lot of footage for sure. So, you know what? Yes, we'll make that its own little video. Anyway, yes, and people can find us at cinematefilms.co.uk on Facebook and Instagram, and at YouTube at /@perspectivebycinemate, and you can hit that subscribe button, hit the wee the bell as well to make sure you see the videos when they get released. Thank you very much for listening. What?
I was going to say it with you.
Oh. However,
in the meantime,
enjoy your life!
The goal isn't to live forever. The goal is to create something that will.